The Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010 required the Agriculture Department to set new and different standards for school lunches. Now, the food might be healthier, but now USDA faces a new problem. Many students can't stomach it. So school lunch participation is falling nationally. Kay Brown is the Director of Education, Workforce, and Income Security Issues at the Government Accountability Office, which has been tracking USDA's progress. She joins me now with more. Ms. Brown, good to have you on.
Good morning.
So is this a federal program that is literally being shoved down students' throats?
Well, you know, you mentioned that the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010 mandated USDA to make some nutritional changes to the program, and the idea was to address not just improved nutrition and food insecurity, but also some concerns about childhood obesity. But what we found is that the requirements are very, very specific, and there has been some problems with adjustment on the side of students in accepting the new requirements.
So tell us how you went about investigating this particular program.
Well, we, in addition to the usual things that we do as far as looking at the law and talking to federal officials, we decided to get out into the field and see what was happening for ourselves. So we went to 8 different school districts and talked to the food personnel, the students, the school administrators. We observed the lunches, including what the kids took, what they ate, what they threw away. And we went back 2 times, once in the 2012 school year and once in the 14-15 school year, so that we could see the progress that was being made.
All right, so I guess there's progress, I guess, on 2 fronts. One, the food itself, and the other is in the participation of the students that are in those school food authority areas. So what did you find? Let's talk about the participation rates of people of consuming what it is that's being offered.
Yeah, right. One of the concerns that came up was, of course, the districts, the school food authorities are the ones who operate these programs, and they're roughly the same in entities within the school district. And what we found was, of course, they rely on getting reimbursed for the meals they're serving. And starting in school year 2010, and then as these changes went into effect, what we saw was a drop of 1.4 million students, or about 4.5% participation. So that's a concern for the districts.
And what about the offerings? I guess even for dispassionate GAO investigators, they were surprised at what they saw from reading the report.
Well, the requirements are very specific as far as what the districts have to do. It's everything from the different components like fat-free, low-fat milk, grains, meat, but it gets really, really specific on how big the portion should be, what the minimum and maximum calories are, what vegetables have to reserve from 5 subgroups. So there's a lot for the districts to keep track of. And one of the most telling illustrations we have on this is, you know, whenever a federal agency issues regulations, we expect some need for clarification, policy memos and guidance as follow-up. But in the 4 years that we've been following this, USDA has written 141 memos totaling more than 4,000 pages. So there's a lot for the district to keep track of. And basically what we heard is they found a lot of that helpful, but also pretty overwhelming.
4,000 pages of regulations for school lunch. I mean,
policy memos, not regulations. That would be really hard.
Policy memos.
Right.
But I guess what I'm driving at, does this whole thing seem to be maybe way too heavy and too difficult for what it is it's trying to achieve? And is there a metric on obesity at large that would prove out whether this is worthwhile or not?
Well, I think it's too soon to tell what the effect is going to be on things like obesity. But the one thing that we've been tracking is, which is really important, is student acceptance. And we certainly have seen plenty of challenges there. You know, the students don't love some of the fruit and vegetable requirements. The schools have to serve red, orange vegetables. Many haven't quite figured out how to get kids to eat sweet potato tater tots and things like that. The kids don't like the beans and peas requirement. This year there's a new requirement for the 100% of the grains they serve have to be whole grain rich, and they haven't quite, many schools haven't found a whole grain pasta that's popular. So student acceptance is an issue, and that results in plate waste or kids throwing away the food. So you know, first the schools have to figure out how to serve something the kids want to pick up from the line, then they have to eat it. And if those two things don't happen, then the program isn't going to work. I do have to say, though, that we've seen some progress. The food industry has been working on some new products that are more palatable to the kids. They've figured out how to make some white products with white whole wheat flour. Some school food authorities are learning more about different preparation techniques that might reduce the plate waste or the amount of food that kids throw away. So I think there's progress being made. It's just been a little rough for some districts.
Because I'm looking at the pictures in the report that you took and put in there, and it does look kind of like not edible in one case. I mean, really, it looks like, I don't know what it is, but are these things prepared by cooks in the SFAs and the school food authority districts, or are these items they buy and just heat up and serve?
Well, it's a mixture, and that's one of the things we tried to do in picking our school districts that we went to, is we tried to go to ones that where they had people that were actually preparing food on site. We went to ones where they had central kitchens where they shipped food out to different schools, and we also went to places where they were using food service management companies. And I think, you know, we've been working on school meals for a number of years, and what we see consistently is there are some districts that do a wonderful job and have figured out how to do this and have the resources and the support, and there are others where they're still struggling. And that's one of the things we've paid attention to what USDA is doing as far as how they're helping provide technical assistance support for those districts that just don't quite have it right yet.
We're speaking with Kay Brown. She's the Director of Education, Workforce, and Income Security Issues at the Government Accountability Office. And so is it the opinion of GAO, or do you have an opinion on whether USDA is maybe devoting more resources to this particular program than maybe they're getting in terms of return on it?
Well, for this particular report, this is our third product, and we've had recommendations to USDA in the other two. In this one, we didn't make recommendations in large part because the areas where we identified challenges, they were already aware of it and were trying to take some steps to address it. But it's going to be a while before we know how this is going to work out. Now, these programs are due for reauthorization. And it's Congress that will be making some decisions on whether they want to make some changes now or let this play out.
Because wouldn't a local school district know best what the tastes and local, I don't know, norms are for itself more so than they would in Washington?
Well, there are, you know, and that's one of the things that we've discovered is that as we talk to districts across the country, there are certainly favorite items in different districts that they're struggling with how to use the, you know, how to make these items in keeping with the new requirements. And it might be, you know, how to make a whole grain rich tortilla in a certain part of the country, or a breakfast biscuit, or even a pierogi. So, you know, there are each part of the country and each district does have and is very aware of the preferences of the kids that are in there and the families in their district. And that is one of the challenges, is figuring out how to make the foods that meet the nutritional requirements from USDA and also satisfy the kids.
And I was wondering, what's it like inside USDA? I mean, there are officials that are trying to push this string uphill. And how are they holding up in terms of their attitude with so much, I guess there's resistance locally and also the lack of success to date in this program?
Well, they have been working really, really hard on a number of fronts, in addition to all of the guidance and memos, policy memos I mentioned. They have been initiating a lot of different programs. So I think there's a lot of enthusiasm on the part of USDA, and they're definitely not giving up.
All right, so it sounds like something you'll be revisiting.
I would venture to say that we'll be looking at this for a couple of years to come.
And by the way, did you or any of the investigators from GAO actually down some of this chow themselves?
Yeah, that's one of my requirements. When we go out to these schools, we eat the meals and we pay for them. So we've experienced the range of the different types of meals.
And do they taste better than they look?
I'd say there's a range.
Yeah. All right. So I guess it's like airline food, terrible and not enough, right? As the old saying goes.
We've had some meals that are great and some that are not so great.
All right. Kay Brown is Director of Education, Workforce, and Income Security Issues at the GAO. Great having you on, as always.
Thank you.